Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you.
Pray. Father, as we come and approach you this morning, Father, we pray that we come with broken hearts, Father. Lord, that you would just put the burden upon our heart to be in prayer for those in need, for those that are lost, for those that don't know you as Lord and Savior. It is so sweet to trust in Jesus. And Father, I pray that everyone here has that assurance, has that they can trust in you no matter what. And Father, we pray for those that may not have a relationship with you today, Father. We pray that your Holy Spirit will just reach out and touch them, Father, as your word is preached. And Father, I pray for our pastor, Lord, as he comes and as he preaches your holy word this morning, the word that you have given him, Father. Pray for those words to penetrate our hearts, Father. Lord, for us just to search you. Father, for us to make you the Lord of our life. We pray for Billy as he teaches Sunday school and all the Sunday school teachers, dear Lord Jesus, that has the children. Father, we pray that everything that is done in your house will bring praise, honor, and glory to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Well, hallelujah. Good morning, everybody. Good morning. This is a good morning. I don't want to apologize, but I did send out a one call now this morning. I very rarely do that on Sunday mornings. And just wanted everybody, as much as possible, could be with us today. This is a huge day in the life of this church. It really is. I've been away, not this past week, but the week before last. I was able to go away and get alone with God for 4 or 5 days and spend a lot of time in personal renewal, prayer, Bible reading, Bible study, preparing for this coming year and really laying out. I've got sermon preps for every Sunday this year. And then I really wanted to focus in on where did God want us to go this year? What direction do we need to go in? And the Lord just kind of sealed in my heart where we need to go and what we're going to do, what we're going to see Him do. And I believe we're going to see God do great and mighty things this year that we've never seen before. Great and mighty things that we don't know anything about. Jeremiah 33:3. And one of the things that I used to do a lot, hadn't been able to do it as much since we moved back home because of a lot of other factors, but every year just kind of get a theme for where we're going. And as I look at the screen, it's already up there. Well, anyways, y'all stole my thunder. We find where we're going in John chapter 8 and verse 32. This is our theme verse for the year. I'm hoping and praying that many of you will memorize this verse, and because you're going to need it. Every Sunday, what we're talking about, it comes from this theme, from this Bible verse. The ministries that we're going to do is going to be centered around this. So if you have found John chapter 8 and verse 32, I know we stood up and down a lot today, but let's honor God's word by standing to your feet if you can. And by the way, if you did not get the one call now, I don't know how many times we've got to tell you, Donna Rainey, Taryn Suter, see one of those girls, okay? And you will start getting the one call now on your phone. Hello?
Amen.
All right, that's how we communicate a lot. We have a mass email, we have a mass phone call. So if you haven't gotten that. But the main thing is that you got a copy of God's Word.
Amen.
All right, if you don't have a Bible, hope you got something on your phone that'll give you God's Word. Here it is. John 8:32. And you shall know the truth. And the truth shall make you free. Let me say it again from memory. And you shall know the truth. And the truth shall make you free. Memorize that verse. That's what we're getting on this year. And of course, the theme is getting free in 23. You tell your wife, don't steal my thunder anymore, all right? Getting free in 23. Father, bless the word now, would you? I've been ready to preach for 3 or 4 days with this, and so I ask God that you would not allow me to get in front of you, that you would get me behind the cross, that the Spirit of God might speak to all of us today, and that we might leave here changed, different than the way we came in the door. Help us, Lord. In Jesus, as Jimmy Terry used to pray, in that great big name we pray, amen. Amen. Please be seated. Getting free in 23. Look at your neighbor and say, we're getting free in 23. Now those of you that didn't say anything, say, we're getting free in 23. Whoo, have mercy. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now, this year, we're going to be focused on getting free in 23, and God's going to do some amazing things. I believe He showed me this and told me this. I've never heard an audible voice from heaven. God speaks to me in His Word. And so, I believe this year, we're going to see people set free from sin. And we're going to see people set free from bondage. People who are in chains to discouragement and depression and anxiety and fear. And we're going to see people set free from idolatry and immorality and addiction. And we're going to see people set free from pride and anger and bitterness and unforgiveness. People with a broken heart this year are going to be made whole. We're going to find freedom to give and to live and to love like we've never experienced before. How is that going to be possible? Because we're going to learn truth that the world knows nothing about. And the truth, you all know who the truth is. What's His name?
Jesus.
Hey, y'all got that one. Amen. The truth is going to set us free in 23. All kinds of folks are going to get free from stuff this year. Are y'all receiving that by faith? 6 of you? You're going to get freed up this year if you'll do what God's telling you to do. Now, freedom, true freedom, begins with a relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, that's what Jesus has been talking about to the religious crowd of His day in John chapter 8. He's been giving them truth about who he was and who He is and what He came to do, truth about forgiveness, but mainly He's been talking about salvation, the truth about salvation. And this religious crowd, you would have thought in their day, if anybody had a relationship with God, it had been this bunch. I mean, they believed the doctrines of their day. These people tithed. These folks fasted at least 2 times a week. They were in the temple on a regular basis. They knew the Torah and the Old Testament scriptures, but they were what I call professors of salvation, but not possessors of salvation. It is possible, brothers and sisters, to be around the things of God and to be certain about some things that Jesus said and did, and yet fail to possess true salvation. It happens from time to time. And I think part of the reason that our churches are full of folks today who do not have a powerful relationship with Jesus Christ is because my brothers in the pulpits have preached an easy believism and a watered-down gospel for years. The gospel is very, very powerful. And Jesus, if you truly have Him, you are different. You are not the same if you've got him. Because he loves you too much to leave you the way you are. Hallelujah. Look at your neighbor and say, he's changing me. Hallelujah. He's still changing me. And so our churches today look like this religious crowd that Jesus had been speaking to. It is possible to identify with the church. It's possible to be a part of things at the church and believe about Jesus and certain things about Jesus and even be baptized. It's possible to even be a member of the church, but yet never have had a life-changing, soul-arresting, sin-convicting, supernatural experience with God Almighty. And that's what we want to see happen here. True freedom comes and begins with a relationship with Jesus Christ. And I want to tell you, brother, if you're lost today, bless God, we're all in the same boat. Every one of us at one point in time was lost in our sin, on the way to a devil's hell. But by God's grace, somehow, He got a hold of us and raised us up. And we repented of our sin and by faith trusted Christ. And right then, God put His Spirit in my spirit, in your spirit. Some of you all are going to get that today. You're going to get free. Because the churches today are full of folks who've never been changed by the power of God. Look at this crowd. You get home today, you read John chapter 8. This is the most religious crowd of the day. And yet many of them did not have, they claimed to be the children of Abraham. And yet they didn't have a relationship with God. And so I want to see people get set free. Wouldn't you like to have freedom, true freedom that Jesus came to give you? So here we go. Now, just want to give you three quick points from John 8, verses 30 through 32. All right? Now, we want to listen in. Remember the conversation he's having with these folks? He's talking about the freedom of salvation. Who he is, what he came to do, that kind of thing. So, I want to say first and foremost, well, look at verse 30, John chapter 8. If you're there, say amen. Amen. If you're not, say, I need a Bible. Nobody spoke up. All right. John 8:30 says, as he spoke these words, many believed. Now, what's that preposition? In him. Some of yours may say on him. It does not say about him. It says in him and on him. And so I believe what we're talking about first and foremost here is that there is an easy profession of faith. It is possible. An easy profession of faith is possible. Now, it didn't come cheaply, but y'all, brothers and sisters, the gospel in and of its nature is simplistic. It's easy to understand. So much so that even a little 7, 8, 9-year-old boy and girl can understand it. The gospel is simple. Those words there in verse 30, many believed in him, literally reads in the Greek language, as he spoke, many put their faith in him. A lot more than intellectual faith has to do with this right down here. Many of these folks had heard the gospel over and over again. They'd seen the miracles. They'd seen the healing and the great power that Jesus had. And they'd seen all of that. And so many of them believed in and on him. Hey, the gospel is simple, brothers and sisters. Christ died for our sins. Give somebody a high five. Christ died for our sins. And that he was buried. Why was Jesus buried? Because he died. But that's symbolic of having our sins buried and put away. And he was raised from the dead 3 days later, giving us victory over sin, hell, death, and the grave. Isn't the gospel simple? But I want to tell you, the simplicity of the gospel carries, and along with it, it has some real perils, some danger. Because it's so easy and so simple to understand. People think that, you know, you can just grab out there and get it. I believe in a whosoever salvation. I believe anybody can be saved. I don't believe there's just a few over here that God selected and there's a few over here that God selected to go to hell. I don't believe that. I don't believe the Bible teaches that. But an easy profession of faith is possible because we see here in John chapter 8, many believed in Him. Not about Him, but in Him and on Him. All right, we crystal clear on that point? Well, I want you to look at the second point of this message. This is key. This is huge. If you don't get anything else today, get point number two. And it's right there in verse 31. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed Him, "If you abide in My word." If you abide in My word, that means to live, to continue in. You are My disciples indeed. And so there is an essential proof of faith that's necessary. If you, a true believer follows the teachings of Jesus, it becomes their way of life. And they continue in His word. Their lives are marked not by perfection, but by an obedient desire to please Jesus. And how do we please Him? You do what the Word says. You do what the Word says. I'm not saying you're perfect, but it is the desire of a true believer's heart to live out what the Word of God teaches and preaches. I don't believe in this easy believism. I don't believe the Bible teaches. Jesus said, did you catch that? He said, if you abide. I believe if saved, always saved. I don't believe in this watered down, once saved, always saved. Anybody just live any way you want to? No! If you're born again, you will abide and continue and go forth with the teachings of Jesus in your life. It's a way of life. You know what the early Christians called the Christian movement? The way. It becomes a way of life. All right. The reason I'm so passionate about this is because I've seen people I love in the church lost. I've had deacons. I've even had two staff members, ministers, that were lost come to true saving faith. It happens. It happens. And so let me ask you right now. Is the faith that we're describing, is that what you've got? Is it a way of life for you? Are you continuing in the Word? Is your life marked by obedience to the Word of God? I want to tell you, what we've got is a whole lot better than a Sunday morning experience. And that's what so many of us have. And I'm not just talking about Second Mile, y'all. I've been a pastor at four different churches, so I can't speak to this a little bit. There's supposedly something around 17 million Southern Baptists, and Sunday in and Sunday out, you can only find about 6 million of them. I won't tell you, a faith that won't get you to God's house on a regular basis probably isn't a faith that's going to get you there. I'm giving y'all truth as best. Is there anybody in the Bible? Huge difference in believing about Jesus and believing on Jesus or in Jesus. Huge difference. Is there anybody in the Bible that's an example of that? Yes. There was a man who lived with Jesus, walked with Jesus, ministered with Jesus, loved folks with Jesus, healed folks with Jesus. He even carried around a money bag. He was the treasurer of the disciples. He was one of the 12. And yet the Bible says it'd been better if this man had never been born. The Bible describes him as a murderer and a thief and a liar. You know what his name was? And he was one of the 12. There's a man in Acts chapter 6 by the name of Simon. And Simon had so become so enamored with the signs and the wonders and the miracles that Peter and the other apostles were doing that guess what he did? He affiliated with the church and got baptized. Became one of the church folks, right? Now, y'all don't get mad at me. This is the Word of God. And Peter recognized what was going on. And he rebuked Simon for his unbelief. Paul talked about a man who had identified with the church. His name was Demas. And he walked away, abandoned the faith. These very religious people here in John chapter 8, many of them, while many of them believed, there were many of them who did not believe. They heard the messages, they heard the sermons, they heard the truth, they saw the miracles, and they believed a lot of things about Jesus, but they didn't believe in and on Jesus. Religious folks. And then this came to me earlier in the week. The Bible says, even the demons believe. Even the demons believe about Jesus. They know who he is. But obviously the demons are not believers. They're not followers of Christ, right? Can I get a witness at least there? So, there you have it. Biblical examples. Bible's full of them. And our churches are full of them. People who've never been changed by the power of Almighty God, who've never had a real life-changing, soul-convicting, what I call sin-convicting, soul-arresting, a life-transforming experience with Jesus. And bless God, I'm different today than when I got saved. Not because I'm something special and something good, it's because Jesus is something special. He's the one working in my life, and he's the one working. Now, I ran across this story of a Frenchman. Y'all know anybody from France? Come on, tell-y-vous. I learned that in the 9th grade and still don't know what it means. There was this Frenchman that came over to the United States in the 19th century doing some circus performances type things, and his nickname was Blondin. And one of the things that Blondin did, one of the first things that he did, he went to Niagara Falls. How many of y'all ever been seen Niagara Falls? That's an amazing sight, isn't it? And here's what Blondin did. He stretched a tightrope across and above the Niagara Falls. It was about a 100-foot tightrope all the way across the top of the Niagara Falls. And you know what that rascal did? He pushed a wheelbarrow. Y'all know what a wheelbarrow is. He pushed a wheelbarrow across that tightrope above the falls. And then turned around and went back. Tradition tells us that once he even went halfway across and cooked an omelet while he was out there. But his greatest feat was when he had a full-grown man climb onto his back. And he carried this guy on his back all the way across that 100-foot tightrope and then went back to the very beginning where he started. And the man jumped off his back. And there was another fellow standing there, and Blondin looked at him and he said, "Do you believe I could carry you across this tightrope?" He said, "Well, yeah, I just watched you carry him." He said, "Good. Get on my back and we'll go cross the falls." And this fellow said, "Not on your life." Now wrap your head around that, because that is exactly what we're talking about. That's what it means to believe in and on Jesus. You place your life in his hands. Place your hand in the nail-scarred hand. There's an old hymn. You surrender your heart and your life to him. You give him your all. You give him everything that you are to everything that he is. And that life is characterized by someone who continues in the Word of God. The Word of God is your way of life. Being obedient to it, and the desire in your heart is to please Him, not you. Let me read it one more time. Then Jesus said to those Jews who believed in Him, He's talking to the folks who'd actually placed their faith in Him. He said, now here's what true salvation looks like. He says, if you abide in My Word, you're My disciples indeed. Now here's what I want everybody in the church house to do. I want you to go to Matthew 7:21, because He makes it even plainer right here. Matthew 7:21. Matthew 7:21. Y'all, Matthew's the first book in the New Testament. Matthew 7:21. You there? All right. Listen to this. Not everyone who says to Me, Lord, Lord, not everyone who calls Me Lord, not everyone who says to Me, You're My Lord and Savior, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. Not everybody's going, folks. Not everybody in the religious crowd, not everybody in the church. Who's going? He makes it crystal clear again. He says, but he who does the will of My Father in heaven. I don't believe He's teaching a works-based salvation here. He's teaching that people who are truly saved follow the Scriptures and do good works. They're obedient to God's command. Not everybody who says, Lord, Lord, is going to the kingdom of heaven. Only he who does the will of God. I don't believe you can merit your salvation and you can work your way to heaven. Don't believe that. But if you're truly born again, it is the desire of your heart and it's the way of your life to be obedient to what God's Word tells us to do. And He tells us to help the poor, to feed the hungry, to be a blessing to the down and out, to minister to people who are hurting. Now, we've been preaching on that for several weeks, hadn't we? He who does the will of My Father. And the New Testament believers and the New Testament writers and authors, they just live in that tension. We don't do people any favors by telling you, oh, just get saved and your life will be great. Uh-uh. There's a whole lot more to it. Because Jesus said, if they hated Me, they're going to hate you. If they do nasty things to Me, they're going to do nasty things to you. But bless God, this life is just a vapor. It's not any time at all. And then you step out into eternity. And that's what scares me. Is everybody in here ready to step out into eternity? An easy profession of faith is possible. But an essential proof of faith is necessary. Here's the third point, we're done. And emancipating, say emancipating with me. We're talking about freedom now, okay? An emancipating practice of faith is probable. Look again at verse 32. This is our theme verse. And you shall know the truth. You shall know the truth. Now look at the rest of this sentence. This is a huge promise. And what will happen? The truth shall make you free. Jesus Himself is truth, right? And so Jesus Himself will set you free. I don't care what it is. He will set you free. Somebody shout freedom!
Freedom!
He wants to set you free. Now we've got three horrible taskmasters. Do you know who they are? Sin, self, and Satan. Three S's. And Jesus has come to set us free from all three of them. Now, the next four Sundays, I'm going to be preaching on the freedom from sin, how we're free from the penalty of sin, the power of sin, the presence of sin, and even the person of sin. So you don't want to miss that short sermon series on the freedom of sin. But basically, what I want you to know today is that if you're in Christ, if you become a follower of Jesus Christ, He's going to set you free from sin. Isn't that what He says down there in verse 34? Jesus answered them, "Most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a what? A slave of sin. And a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed." And so if you're a child of the King, you're free from sin. You see, before you got saved, you didn't even have any choice. You just walked right into it. And you sinned. You were a slave to it. You're in bondage to it. But now that you're born again, hallelujah, you've been set free. You're never going to be judged for your sin because Jesus took your judgment. But you've not only been saved from the penalty of sin, you've been saved by the power of God. And you have power over sin. You don't have to sin anymore. You're not a slave to it. You're different. You've got power. You've got the strongest power and the force in this universe right deep down in your spirit. His name is the Holy Spirit. And He'll give you power to flee from sin and to walk away from temptation. Give God praise. That's freedom. And then freedom from self. Now, the devil gets a lot of press. But I want to tell you, our old rotten, stinking flesh ought to get some press. Because we're self-centered. We're selfish. We do things that are sinful. And Jesus said, "I will set you free from yourself." In other words, some of us have bad habits. He'll set you free from those bad habits. I've heard some testimonies in here from folks who are addicts, addicted to alcohol, addicted to sex, addicted to this, addicted to that. And the promise from Scripture is Jesus will set you free from bad habits, addictions, whatever it is that's holding you in bondage. Jesus will set you free. And we're going to see people set free from stuff this year. Hallelujah. And then He's going to set you free from Satan. Before you got saved, you were under Satan's power and authority. You couldn't whip him. But now you have power and authority over him because you've got Jesus, see? And He has no power, He has no right, He has no authority over you except that which you let Him have. But I want to tell you, Jesus wants to free you up. You shall know the truth, and we're going to learn truth this year, the truth about so much stuff, and that truth is going to set you free. I can't wait to see what we look like January 1 of 2024. Hallelujah. So here's the deal. Remember that question I asked a while back? What does your faith look like? Just be honest with yourself. You'll be glad you did one day. Do you have that soul-saving faith? If you've made that easy profession of faith, do you have essential proof of your faith? Are you continuing in His Word? Are Jesus' teachings the way of your life? Are you marked by obedience to God's commands and God's Word? And then you can be free to practice your faith. What does your faith look like today? I believe in a whosoever will. And if you'll come to God His way today, God will give you freedom like you've never experienced before. Don't you want to get free today? Listen. If you've got doubts about your salvation, about whether or not you're saved, that's not entirely a bad thing. That's probably a good thing. If you've got doubts, I don't know who I'm talking to here today, but if you've got doubts, you know what I'd do? I'd just get with God right now and say, God, I believe your word. And I'm going to drive a spiritual stake down in the ground, and right now, I'm going to claim Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Right now, I'm going to do that. I want to be sure, and I believe that Jesus died for all my sin. And Father, I believe that he was buried, and because he's buried, my sins can be buried and put away. And I believe Jesus is alive today, just like he said he would. He rose from the dead. I believe he's alive. And right now, today, I receive what Christ did for me. I receive Christ and Christ alone for my salvation. Come into my heart. Come into my life. Change me. Do what only you can do. Free me and my soul and my spirit. Do it now. Friend, would you be willing to take that step of freedom today? No matter what anybody, you know what? I wouldn't even worry one nanosecond about what somebody else might think. All that matters is what does God think? All that matters is what does Jesus think right now about your fellowship and your fellowship with him? What is he saying? What is he thinking? Well, I'm going to guarantee you, if you've got doubts today, and maybe you're just absolutely sure, this is your opportunity right now. And I don't believe, Jesus didn't say, come fill out a card. He said, surrender your life. And if you'll do that today publicly, I'm going to tell you, you'll walk out of here free as a bird. You'll be freer than that. Hit those lights, Bobby, would you? I want everybody to just bow your head. Close your eyes. Please, nobody looking around. I want you to ask yourself right now, am I doing the will of my Father? Am I abiding in God's word? Am I living in his word? Is it my desire to please God? Ask yourself those questions. And if you're not absolutely sure, or maybe you can say no to some of those, I want to ask you to do something right now. And it'll be the greatest decision of your life. And I promise you, God will give you his life-changing power right now. He will free you up. And I believe there's people all over the building that need to do this today. I'm not trying to make you doubt your salvation. You ought to know. Say, well, Brother Cal, I'm just not real sure. Everybody's got their head bowed. Nobody's looking around. I want to lead you in a prayer right now. I want to lead you in a prayer. Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me before my Father in heaven, I'll be ashamed of you. But if you don't care who knows, and you're ready to have this life that we've been talking about, I want you to just stand to your feet, and I want to lead you in a prayer. That's right, just stand up right where you are. Amen. Just stand up right where you are right now for the first and only time that you really need to pray this prayer. There's one standing. Are there others? I know there's others. Come on. What are you waiting on? That's right. Stand right up. God bless you. Are there others? Come on. Just stand up. I just want to lead you in a prayer. You need this. You know you need it. Amen. There's been no change in my life, Pastor. God bless you. Y'all are in the right place. You're making the right decision. I'm going to give it. Anybody else? Come on. Your heart's beating. You know you need to do this. Stand to your feet right now. Nobody's looking around. It's between you and Jesus. I want to lead you guys. All right. Hallelujah. I want to lead you in a prayer. And you just voice this prayer in your heart. You don't have to say it out loud. But you pray something like this. Father, I know I'm a sinner. And I know my sin has separated me from you. And I'm guilty. But I want to turn from my sin today. I'm tired of it. And I want to give Jesus my life. I believe He died for all my sins. And I believe He's alive today, Father. And right now, I surrender my heart and life to You. And I ask You right now today to forgive me. Come into my heart and life. You're the Lord of my life. You're not just the Savior. I'm going to live my life for You and You alone. Thank You for saving me. Now, just the ones who are standing, in that prayer within Jesus' name, I pray, amen. Now, just the ones who are standing, I want you guys to look right here at me. Just look up right here at me. God bless you. God bless you. God bless y'all. I believe if you really meant business with God today, today you got free from sin. I believe today you made the decision that's going to free you up the rest of your life. But remember, the life you have now is a life of obedience. Obedience to God's call and command. And the first thing, the very first thing that God asks you to do in your new life with Christ is to follow Him in believer's baptism. And you're going to need to be baptized, not for salvation, but pointing to the fact, I'm obedient to Christ. And you need to meet with us, meet with me. And I'm going to get some stuff in your hands that'll get you started right in your new life with Christ. I know y'all love the Lord. If you love the Lord, say, just do this. You love God? You love the Lord? You know how much He loves you? He loves you so much He died for you. And one day He's coming for you. And until then, you're going to live for His honor and praise and glory. Is that right? Is that right? Hallelujah. You're my brother. You're my sister in the Lord. And just a minute. You five, we've got some special men and women in our church. We call them deacons. And they're going to take you all to the lower landing down here. And they're going to get you to fill out some contact information for us. They're going to give you some booklets and some things to help you get started right in your new life with Christ. And then I'll call you, text you, or whatever I need to do, and set up your baptism time, okay? After you're truly saved and born again, then baptism. Now I'm believing y'all. Y'all took that step of faith today. Father, thank You. As our deacons are coming forward, Father, thank You. As our deacons are coming forward, Father, thank You for what You've done in the lives of these folks who are here today. Your wives need to be with you. We've got women here who have been saved today. Father, thank You for this special, special time. I knew You were going to save lives. I knew You were going to free people up today. I knew it, I knew it, I knew it. I just want to give You praise and glory for it. Thank You, Lord. Now, you five, these are our deacons and their wives. And I would like for y'all to just come on up here with them. And then they're going to take you down to this lower level. And they're going to get you some forms to fill out so we can get your names and address and figure out how to get hold of y'all. And then they're going to give you some Get Started Right booklets. I don't care if you've been baptized before. This is the day you got saved. Okay? This is the day that God sets you free. It doesn't matter if you've been baptized so many times, the frogs are on a first name basis with you in the pond. This is the day of salvation. So, y'all come on, guys, y'all just head down there with them and do some counseling with them. Get them the information they need. Greg, you'll probably need to head back to the kitchen and get some of that stuff. And the rest of you that are here, I know we're running a little bit behind, but you know what? You can't rush the Holy Spirit. And some of you all need to get free. Some of y'all are saved. And you need to get free from some stuff. Do you believe what God said? You shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Well, the altar's open right now for the rest of you. And in the quietness and stillness of this moment, you come. You come. Father, bless now this altar call. This is going to be a year of freedom like we've never seen it. Thank you, Lord, for those five that have surrendered to Christ today. Hallelujah to your name. But there's much more that you're wanting to do in the area of freedom. Help us, God. In Jesus' name.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.